This podcast is brought to you by the Legarten Institute. I'm Sianne Hansen, Executive Director, and we hope you enjoy this conversation.
This evening, in the latest of the Legarten Institute's History of Capitalism lecture series, we are welcoming Deirdre McCloskey, who has arisen from her professorial chair at the University of Illinois in Chicago and flown into London by way of Amsterdam to join us. My name is Harold Williams, and as the senior advisor at this institute, I direct the affairs of its cultural division. And I am correspondingly grateful to the Legarten Foundation and to others who make so profound a financial contribution to our work. Deirdre, title of your talk this evening, How Ideas, Not Capital, or Institutions Enriched the World.
Yes.
Tell us how you came to that title and how you come to that conclusion.
Oh, I came through it. It was a hard coming we had of it. I kept changing the title. I was going to call it Bourgeois Towns, because there's a famous blues song named Bourgeois Town. And I kept changing the title, but finally I wanted the title to say in one sentence, half a sentence, what the point is. And the point is that we became rich, both economically and spiritually, from the new idea of equality. The idea, equality of respect, and equality before the law.
And when and where do you see this idea emerging and becoming really important for the
first time? As you say, I was in Amsterdam, which is a favorite town of mine. It started there. It started there in the 16th century, and then in their golden age of the 17th century. And it was a society stripped of aristocracy, didn't have one. They, for all kinds of reasons. And so it was a society in which there was less hierarchy than in the 17th century in England or in France or in Germany. And this idea that ordinary people could have a go, that's what it amounts to. That's what equality amounts to. You can have a go.
It's different, therefore, from egalitarianism.
It's not. That's right. I call it Scottish egalitarianism as against French. I'm speaking of the 18th century, not now. In fact, now Scottish egalitarian is French egalitarianism. But the idea is, Adam Smith, that the liberal system of human dignity and equality before the law allows people to try out things. And here's the key point. It allows masses of people to try out things.
Now, that's the key thing, isn't
that's
it?
That's the key thing, because it's not a little teeny minority of, professors or chief astronomers of the king.
We're talking about a mass social development.
A mass social development.
And it's about loads of people convinced and rationally convinced of their dignity.
I can do it.
And their liberty and their worth.
I'm as good as that person. I can do it.
And that this is the source of innovation.
That's right. Now, of course, it's not complete even yet. The great age of liberation, as I view it, of the 1960s, which I experienced, is a continuation of something that started back in the English Civil War and in the American Revolution and in the French Revolution. This idea that you can do it has been extended and extended and extended and extended. It starts out with men, white, free men, and gets extended to blacks, to women, to colonial people, to gays, etc.
Now, this title that you're giving us this evening is in anticipation of the publication next spring by the University of Chicago Press of the third volume of your magnificent, if I say so, trilogy.
Yes.
On the bourgeois era.
The bourgeois era. The first volume was called the bourgeois virtues, ethics for an age of commerce, which says, yes, you can be virtuous and in commerce too. And the second one was called bourgeois dignity. Why my own field of economics is conventionally viewed can't explain why we got so rich.
Now, these are very important volumes in the history of history, in the writing of history. They're very important volumes, I think, in the writing of economics. But let's take a kind of step back, because you didn't start with having these views about the nature of history and the historical nature of economics. You were an orthodox single subject economist, weren't you?
Absolutely, I certainly was. And before that, I was a single subject Marxist. And before that, a single subject Peter Kropotkin anarchist. I've been everything.
And now you are a Christian, liberal, Episcopalian?
I'm an Episcopalian, which is to say an Anglican.
A libertarian?
We had to stop calling it Anglican after the revolution.
What we have to do. A libertarian who dreams of a world in which we have perhaps just a third of GDP sort of being taken up by state expenditure, or even less?
Even less. It would be marvelous if it could get down to 15%.
And part of all of this is your profound intellectual change of view about the nature of economics. You stopped thinking that it was an objective science.
No, I don't think I did stop thinking it was an objective science, but I stopped thinking that it was a monomaniacal science of prudence only. And that amounts to the same thing, because my colleagues think it is objective, and I have written pointing out that economics, like mathematics or physics or any field you want to name, is about persuasion. Is about people discussing things, coming to some sharp conclusions. But even in mathematics, there are undecided propositions, and that's where I started to drift away from the monomania.
So answering these questions, these three books are about the invention of the modern world.
They are.
They're about how modern human beings start to live and be different in a distinctive way.
Yes, they did.
And in wishing to find answers to the question of how this came to happen, you came to the conclusion that you needed to know about an awful lot of different subjects, that not a single subject was enough.
It simply was not going to work. If it's true that ideas, not capital accumulation, which we economists understand very well, not institutions, which we historians think we understand very well, those are not it, but it's just ideas. Not just ideas, but it's ideas. The idea of equality, the idea of a steam engine that comes from the idea of equality, then you have to look all over the society. If it's just capital accumulation, then you measure that and you go home and have a beer. But if it's ideas, the evidence will show up in Jane Austen's novels and in Shakespeare's plays, and it'll show up in the newspaper editorials, and it'll show up in people's ordinary lives. It'll show up all over the society.
In paying attention to so many different subjects and in such an authoritative way, Deirdre, you speak uniquely to the mission of the Legatum Institute. We are delighted to have you with us this evening.
Well, thank you so much, dear.
Thank you.
To hear more podcasts from the Legatum Institute, please visit our iTunes channel or website at www.li.com.